Ya 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 ya, weiß wie Baker hält der Wind.
I was born in Germany to a German citizen mother and a Hispanic American father. My father served in the American Air Force following World War II, met my mother at a local dance, and they got married. Not wanting to drag me from base to base across Europe, my mother chose to live with her parents in the small village of Kelkheim, not too far from the city of Frankfurt. I was the only grandchild at the time, the apple of my grandfather's eye. I could do absolutely no wrong as far as he was concerned. Oh, and I admit, I took advantage of his love for me, and I think I was a bit of a spoiled brat. To the extent that when my father came home on visits and tried to discipline me, I would tell him, "You're not the boss of me, only Opa." I attended Catholic school with the neighborhood children, who were mostly boys, and I soon enjoyed hanging out with them more than the few girls I knew. I was a bit of a tomboy. When I was 7 years old, I begged to have a pair of stilts, like all the other boys. Stilts? My mother insisted it was too dangerous. Eventually, though, my opa made me a small pair, and I was in my glory until one of the older boys started calling me Ami, a nickname that was given to the American GIs. Of course, I didn't know this and took great offense, insisting that I was German. And how dare you call me that? Oh, I ended up hitting the name-calling kid with one of my stilts, drawing blood. Yep, I had quite the temper, and my first exposure to prejudice didn't go well, and of course, no more stilts for me. When I was 9, my father completed his duty with the Air Force and announced that we were moving to the U.S. and his home state of Arizona. Oh, I promptly told him I was not going. I had to stay with my opa, who just recently had surgery to remove his left eye, and I was the only one who could put that glass eye in, so I was not going. I ended up leaving Germany and settling with a family in St. John's, Arizona, a small, small town, population of about 3,000. I arrived in June 1958, and my father insisted that I learned to speak English right away in order to attend school in the fall. I was not allowed to speak any German, spent every afternoon studying in order to be ready for school. I was absolutely miserable and begged my mother on a daily basis to please, please send me back to Germany to my Oma and Opa. When I did attend school in September, I was again subjected to prejudice that I was not prepared for. A few of the kids enjoyed calling me Little Hitler and You Dirty German, resulting in my mother speaking to my teacher and the school principal, just what I needed. Well, I survived and soon adapted to the American way, wearing blue jeans, t-shirts, and listening to rock and roll. Much to my very military and very strict father's dismay. Oh, I continued to push the envelope with him. We fought tooth and nail during my teen years. He insisted on strict curfews, screening my friends, and didn't want me to date boys even when I was 15. Fortunately, my mother had a bit of influence in that department, and I did manage to get to the junior prom, only to be grounded for the whole summer because I didn't get home at midnight, the hour that he wanted me home. After graduating St. John's High School, I attended Phoenix College. Ooh, I felt like I'd been let out of a cage. I was 250 miles away from home. living in an apartment with my girlfriend. And the best thing, no daddy to tell me what to do. I loved living in the city of Phoenix, enjoyed attending college, meeting new people, but I had to take the bus to school every day and always had to show my college ID card to get the student rate. One morning, while showing my card to a new driver, prejudice reared its head again with the comment by him of, "Is Paris your real name? You don't look like a Spick to me." Ooh, I was just fuming. I screamed at him, "It's Perez," and took his name and badge number, jumped off the bus, and reported him to the Phoenix Transit Authority. Unfortunately, in 1966, a whole lot of prejudice also existed in the Southwest. It wasn't just the gringos and the Hispanics either. I had a wonderful African-American friend who invited me to see Ike and Tina Turner perform on the South Side of Phoenix. I attended with him only to hear comments. "What's that white girl doing here?" I thought I'd seen prejudice at its worst, but what I was about to experience in the following years saddened me to be a human being. In 1968, my girlfriend and I decided to attend the party of all parties and go to the Mardi Gras in New Orleans, Nollins to the locals. Of course, I didn't tell my parents that I was going, since my plans would have been halted immediately. I met the man of my dreams at the Gunga Din on Bourbon Street. He being an Austrian-Canadian fellow who rode his motorcycle down to New Orleans as well. I loved a man on a bike. He told me his name was Jason, even though it was Hans. He was also avoiding the prejudice of a German name. We found an upstairs apartment in a beautiful old home and moved in together and proceeded to find employment. I obtained a position as a go-go dancer at the Golden Nugget on Tulane Avenue. No lap dancing, no lap dancing. Hans worked at the Red Garter on Bourbon Street slinging beer. We had the whole day to ourselves to travel around Louisiana and get to know the locals. The prejudice against African Americans could be seen in restaurants, bars, streetcars, and buses throughout the city. And we witnessed it firsthand when a mulatto friend of ours was denied service while with us in one of the local restaurants. It was a sad time. Our lives were shattered on April 4th, 1968, when we heard the news that Martin Luther King Jr. had been assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee. It was time to get the hell out of the South. I moved to Canada and have been blessed with a wonderful life, husband, and two very independent, self-assured children who show concern for others' struggle for justice and human dignity. My mixed heritage was both a blessing and a curse at times, but it really gave me an appreciation for all the different customs and cultures in the world. We've been spending our winters here in Los Perales for the past 9 years. We love the energy here, the camaraderie, the locals, and I'm really pleased to see that the American and Canadian population respect the locals, the land, and environment, and participate too to keep Baja beautiful. My beloved Opa passed away before my return to Germany, but his life lessons and memories live on. Thank you so much for lending me your